Please be seated. The flowers that are decorating the church today are given to the glory of God and in loving memory of Todd Fowler from parents Noella and Dave, daughter Amanda and sister Joanne and family, and in thanksgiving for Irene Jensen Fiss, who turned 91 on May the 18th, and in memory of her husband, Eldon Ginson, from Sandra and family. We give thanks to God for these gifts that beautify our world. May the words of my lips, the thoughts and the meditations of all our hearts, be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I give you a commandment, Jesus said. You are to love one another as I have loved you. It's a pretty familiar verse, I think. Pretty a familiar concept, I think. But I wonder sometimes what people are thinking about when they hear that verse. Some probably are thinking about those warm, fuzzy feelings we have about other people. And that's what we hear when we hear the word love one another. That we are to have warm, fuzzy feelings about one another. And indeed, warm, fuzzy feelings are wonderful, aren't they? And so if this is all that the new commandment has to say to us, then that's a pretty good thing. But it isn't the only thing that this commandment is saying to us. How good and pleasant it is when siblings live together in unity, says Psalm number 133. And that truth is something that to which we can say amen, for who doesn't like a lack of strife in their life? It's nice when people are getting along. It's nice when that happens. But there is another kind of love that we share, and that's kind of the reciprocal love. The I'll do for you if you do for me kind of relationship. That when you do this, I'll do that, or if you do this, I'll do that. And those kinds of relationships are real and treasured and wonderful and beautiful. It is indeed another way for us to obey this new commandment, because serving each other is a valid expression of love. I happen to think that Jesus had these things in mind when he gave the commandment, but he had a few more things in mind as well. Some perhaps more difficult things. When he uttered those words that John faithfully recorded, loving one another as Christ has loved us, it takes us away from, or takes us beyond just those warm, fuzzy feelings, which are really wonderful, takes us beyond the reciprocal kind of relationships that we often have. Loving one another sometimes works as it did with Simon Peter and the group of disciples, as recorded in the Acts of the Apostle that we just heard. In one little sentence, Luke records this event that took place that was quite astounding. He simply said, the apostles and believers were in Judea. When the apostles and believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. That's utterly astounding. It would have been absolutely mind-boggling for the people in Judea to hear that Peter, Simon Peter, the head of the crew, had gone to the Gentiles to speak to them. That simple sentence that Luke records doesn't really communicate the amount of angst that might have brought about. You see, for centuries, the way the world worked was that God spoke to humanity through the descendants of Abraham. So the world was kind of divided between Jews and everybody else. And for this movement from the Jewish nation out into the Gentile world to happen was, if not unexpected, absolutely stupendous. If the message were to go into the Gentile world, there would have had to have been ceremonies to bring the Gentile into the fellowship, to make sure that they were educated and trained. But this, for Simon Peter to go and preach the message in a Gentile household, was really quite astounding. in response to a vision, Simon did this. And God had to repeat the vision three times just to be sure that Simon understood that it was from God and not something that he just cooked up himself. So in that conviction, he went to Cornelius' household and preached the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit manifested itself in the same way that the Spirit had manifested itself over them. What was he to conclude? But this was God's idea. And he moved forward in that conviction, and he continued to preach and proclaim and to meet with the Gentiles. Meanwhile, back in Judea, the disciples heard the rumors. They didn't have the background. They didn't have the same stories that Simon Peter had experienced. And so they asked a question, perhaps not all that politely. Maybe you've had questions like this raised to you from time to time. What were you thinking? What on earth are you doing going over to the Gentiles, Peter? Why would you do such a thing? Don't you know that that's not what we do here? Unfortunately, that phrase sounds all too familiar to us because it's probably been lodged on us. Anyone who spent any time at all on Facebook or any of the other social media platforms knows that kind of line. You know, what were you thinking? How dare you do that kind of thing? And so Simon Peter told the story about how he had become convinced of the reality of God's desire to reach out from the people of Abraham, from the descendants of Abraham, into the rest of the world. This was God's design from the very beginning, and the way in which it was going to take place was through the Messiah and the Messiah's people. And they were going to launch out into these places where the message had never gone before. And it was going to be new things done. Bob Dylan wrote a song called "The Times They Are A-Changing," and I think that they would have rung through the minds of the people in those days in a different way. St. Paul, a little later, dealt with some of these objections too. As God's message began to break a barrier that had existed in people's minds for years and years and years. And every generation of the church has faced similar kinds of events. Issues raised about which not everyone agrees. And sometimes judgments are leveled and said, you know, why on earth would you do that? What on earth were you thinking? How can you stand yourself when you do that? In our own era, not too long ago, there were long and hot debates about the remarriage of divorced persons. There were strenuous conversations about changes in the prayer book. There were arguments about the ordination of women, brought about because some people had heard from God that God wanted to move in that direction. And other people who hadn't had that experience, who hadn't had that knowledge or had that understanding, said, wait a minute, what do you think you're doing here? At each moment during those times of discussion, the drama we just heard between Simon called Peter and the rest of the disciples, with Cornelius in the middle of it, plays out again and again. When a prophetic voice calls for change, not everyone jumps on board right away. The movement of God toward the Gentiles was forecast in Scripture, but the way in which it happened was unexpected. Many people, it would seem, thought that the movement of God toward the Gentiles would have had them entering the family of God by other means, to be properly educated and then accepted. And Peter had to be convinced as well. This story illustrates an important message about loving one another. Loving one another sometimes is hard, and sometimes it's fraught with some disagreement. Sometimes it means taking a hard look at ourselves and taking a hard look at what it is that's causing the strife and asking God, please would you help me understand before I open my mouth. I'm sure you've all heard this saying, that we have two ears, one mouth, so we should listen twice as much as we talk. You can put that on a bumper sticker if you want. Part of the reason for raising this is that it was in the scripture, but also part of the reason for raising this is that I found myself in this kind of conversation more than usual lately. Not surprisingly, you might realize. The upcoming General Synod meeting, during which two rather controversial topics are going to be discussed. The proposed changes to the marriage canon and a discussion about the possibility of creating a self-determining indigenous diocese. Those are not simple questions. And they garner a whole bunch of opinions on a whole bunch of levels. And the important part of that conversation is that it happens with some respect for the integrity of the people who hold their various positions. They're not easy topics, and a good deal of passion is connected to whatever view is held. That's normal, and it's good. But what's sometimes missing is the attitude of love toward those with whom we differ. So I want you to imagine a time. Perhaps remember a time when someone you respected or trusted or loved did something that made you question their decision. When you did that dog look. Those of you who have dogs have seen this look. When the news of Peter's visit to Cornelius was shared, some of the people who heard it reacted in that way. They couldn't get their heads around it. But when they heard the story, when they heard the background to it, they rejoiced. They rejoiced about the fact that God was now breaking down this barrier and sending his message out even wider than they could have even imagined. When we are asked to love one another, we are asked to remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I forget which verses, somewhere around 5 or 6, where it says that love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Believes all things and hopes all things and endures all things, and it never ends. So when those trusted people do something that we seem to think is a little bizarre for their character, we're being asked to be patient with them. We're asked to be kind to them. We're being asked to trust. And we're being asked not to insist on our own way, but to be open to God's Spirit, to hear the message of the good news once again in perhaps a brand new way. So please hold your opinions, keep them, express them, and listen to other people's opinions with respect and with joy that God is leading us onward in this journey, will never leave us nor forsake us, and will always be there when we need him. I offer you these words in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.